Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph.
Lamed Gimel, sorry. Lamed.
Yeah. Okay, it starts with the two dots, which is line 3. So we have the following. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein somches hakedera bibekas. So we said the following, that they used to take their pots and they would suspend them. I guess you'd call it slow cooking. And they need sometimes an object, a vessel of some sort that would support the pot on the outside so that the fire would go under the pot. And he wants to use this piece of firewood, which he cut down a log that he needs for his fireplace. And right now the Braisa says that you're not allowed to do that. And we're talking on Yontif. So this was the Pella that we spoke about yesterday. How could this be Osir? After all, it's a Dovash HaMalachtol Leheter, Bechein Adelas. And also they would use a log of wood in order to support a Delas, a wall. And you're not allowed to do that on Yontif. And the reason for that is going to be clarified in just a minute. We, based on our sugya in Kuf Chav Dalet in Shabbos, we came to the conclusion that the reason why this is Osir is because of Gzeira of Yom Tov to Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, this Bekas has the status not of a Klisha Malachto Le'Isr, which would be Mutal Tzar Kufo, but rather as Muktzim Achmas Kufo. It's a piece of wood, this Bekas. And therefore, if a person will come to confuse Shabbos and Yom Tov, he'll come to the mistaken conclusion that even on Shabbos he's allowed to use a bekas l'tzarech gufo. In this case, l'smok bos hakedera, l'smok bos etzadelas. But that's not true. That would be a major mistake because in truth it's mukta, and mukta is also even l'tzarech gufo. But here in this brisa, and that's what we're going to try to figure out. The brisa comes up with a whole different reason. Why is it that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to do this? And the Braisa formulates a principle, l'fishal o nitnu eitzim ela lahasoka, which literally translates means that wood is not designated for anything other than using it for combustion, you know, using it to feed the fire. Nothing else is possible. And it sounds like, you know, the Gemara is coming up with, the Braisa is coming up with some sort of new halach of mukta. And we don't know exactly why. Let's see if there's anything in Rashi here. Maybe Rashi will help clarify something. Well, right now, I see there's only a Rashi here. V'chein kedera, shemoshivim al beis chavios, lo yakifenu tchilu vakach yoshivena, esakdera aleim. Fine, okay, this is a more complicated description of what goes on here with smicha. But Rashi so far doesn't say anything here. Let's take a look on Amud Beis for a minute.
Was this kedera done at the time of Nehemiah the prophet to prevent people from breaking Shabbos because they weren't so learned?
No, I don't think so. I think that this is really halacha lemaisa even today, because we're operating with the principles of we're operating within all those categories. So let's take a look for a moment on Rashi on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and we're looking for Rashi Dibra Maskalo Yitol, and he says the following. This is about, I would say, two-thirds of the way down from the top of the page. Rashi says that Dovar Haroi Lachila Muchan Lechol Tzorech. In other words, what you need is either a Kli or an Ochel. Then you apply the principle of Hachana, meaning that either food that's edible or a utensil that's usable, that's functionable, is mukhan. It's designated for use on Shabbos. Aval eitzim, but the funny thing about wood is they don't fit into any category whatsoever. Hoil v'darchan l'dvar ha'isur. What do you use it for? You use it, kigol lasos kelim, you use it to structure something. Lo hitiru l'taltalon el la hasaka. It's very interesting. So Rashi's saying that basically the status of these Eitzim is that of Mukta, even on Yontif. And the very fact that on Yontif it's Mutter to use it as firewood, that itself, Rashi says, is a special heter.
But Eitzim is one of the three paradigms. Eitzim, Avanim, and Afar are one of the three paradigms of classic Mukta, no?
Okay, so Rashi's not operating here with the Gzeirah to Shabbos. Again, our whole sugya in Masechtik Shabbos is predicated on the fact that even on Yom Tov there should be no problem using a Vikas, Lismok Bas HaKederah, but nevertheless we make a Gzeirah to Shabbos. Forget about that. Rashi says here in Beitza, leave out the Gzeirah to Shabbos. Even on Yom Tov you can't use it, Lismok Bas HaKederah. Why? Because it's Mukta. We thought that this is a Dovah Shemalachol Leheter because you're allowed to use it to feed your fire. Rashi is saying just the opposite. It's really Mukta. As you said before, Ben, it's not Oakland, it's not Kalim, it's Mukta Machmas Gufo. The only thing is they were Matir using it for firewood for the purpose of Yom Tov. So it's not the way we understood it, that since you're allowed to use these logs and designate them for firewood, therefore it's not Mukta. And we have to introduce a Gzeirah to Shabbos where there is Mukta, because you can't use it to feed your fire on Shabbos. Rashi says just the opposite. Instead of saying, well, it should be Mutter, because it's designated for Heter, for something that's permissible, we're going to say, no, it's Asur and it's Mukta. But we're going to be Matarit for the greater good of allowing the fire to be fed, you know, in order to keep it up. So that's what this article that we want to study, this essay in Hari Kedem, is all about. But let's just first finish the Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So it means that Rabbi Shimon allows you to use this bakas, this log of wood, as a support for your door. And it would seem that this is based on the old machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda also mukta, he's going to apply mukta even in the case of wood that's designated for kindling, and it's mukta to kindle it on Yontif. But Rabbi Shimon, who has a much more limited, restricted scope as far as mukta, there are only very few cases where he designates something and categorizes it as mukta. He's going to be more liberal and he's going to be more permissible in the case of some sort of a log that could be used in the context of Yontif, could be used for Okal Nefesh, meaning for feeding the fire. Now, according to Rashi that we just saw on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis in Beitza, it doesn't make any sense that Rav Shimon would be Mekil here, because as we said a dozen times, if not twice that amount, Rav Shimon accepts Mukta Machmas Gufo. Rav Shimon only has this thesis that if you have an Ochel or you have a Kli, it's automatically Mukhan. You don't have to actively designate it. And the Shem Ochel and the Shem Kli will be Mafkir. But here, Rashi points out very well, there's no Shem Ochel, there's no Shem Kli, it's just a piece of wood. And therefore it's Mukta Machmas Gufo. The status of this piece of wood should not be dependent on the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that if it's Mukta Machmas Gufo, it should be okay. So this is very difficult, this price. So now we have, just to summarize, because Don, you came a little late, we have two kashas that we're asking on the Sugyan Beitza. Number one, this Sugyan Beitza, the way Rashi interprets it, doesn't seem to in any way jive with our Sugyan Shabbos, whereas our Sugyan Shabbos is assuming that there's no reason whatsoever to prohibit using this log to support the pot. But I don't mean any. I have no implications about supporting any sort of addictions, or anything. But I mean a pot in which you cook. So we're all in favor of supporting a pot according to the sugya in Shabbos. The only problem is that's only if we didn't have Shabbos as a problem. We're gonna have Yontif as a problem because the spectator is gonna make this confusion, this leap of faith from Shabbos to Yontif. On the other hand, Rashi says in our sugya in Beitza that there's a very fundamental reason why you can't support the pot. And that is because it's mukta. It's not an ochel and it's not a kli, and therefore it's mukta. And the only thing they allowed was to use it for firewood. That doesn't seem to fit into what we said here in our sugya. The second question that we asked is that why does Rav Shimon allow you to support your pot? After all, Rav Shimon himself agrees that there's such a category of mukta called mukta machmas kufa. And if Rashi is right that Eitzim, by definition, is mukta machmas kufa, then even Rav Shimon should answer. Those are the two questions that that we have no answers to. Let's just read a little bit further in Masechta Beitza, and it says the following. So we have now the Braisa, right? Tana Rabbanan, and we had Ein Somchen Sakedera Bibikas V'chein Adeles L'fishlo Nitnu Eitzim Ela LaHasoker Rav Shimon Matis.
Is it still on Amud Bet?
No, I'm going back to Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay then. Okay. Now, V'ein Manhigim Esabehema B'Makil B'Yontif. If you're up to that, how many lines down is that from the top? Would we be right to say it's about six lines down from the top? One, two, three, four, five, six lines down from the top. So you're not allowed to drive your animal. But they used to force the animal to move by hitting it with a stick, and you can't do this on Yontif. Now, presumably, the reason for that is that a behema balchai is mukta even on Yontif. And if that be the case, to use the makil for the sake of a mukta would be to move something that has no purpose, because you're not allowed to do this on Yontif. But Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Matir, and the Gemara says Lema Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Kavua Svirle. Shall we assume that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, accepted his father's opinion of the Lesle Mukta? But again, it's very difficult to say Lesle Mukta, because we're talking about Bali Chaim, and we've already discussed back in Perakira and Shabbos that Bali Chaim are Mukta even according to Rabbi Shimon. And we spoke about a Bechar, if you recall. We even questioned whether the Baal Chai, after it dies, you're allowed to take its flesh and feed it to a dog, because since it wasn't designated Erev Shabbos to die, it was a very healthy animal, then it's not Yoshiv Mitzapa. We spoke about Midbarios, if you remember, the animals that go out for 6 months into the desert, and that's Mukta even according to Rav Shimon. So where it says Lo, Baha filu Reb Shimon Moda. In the case of a Balchai, even Reb Shimon would agree. Mishum de mechse keman di ozil lechinga. In other words, it looks from the outside like he's driving his animal with the stick. He's traveling a long distance to the marketplace. So this is a separate gzera that people might think that he's completely, ignorant or ignoring Yontif, and he's going out to the market on Yontif. So I guess you'd call this, have you ever heard the phrase, uvdin dechol? There's certain actions which are typical of weekdays, to make transactions and so forth and so on, and we want to avoid that on Yontif. So let's put the Gemara Beitz on the side now, and you should have in front of you page Reish Nun Gimel. I'm just going to make a brach.
Amen.
Rabbi,
before we start, wasn't there some discussion that
the
main maybe Balei Chaim are not Mukta, but just there's an Iser Tiltul, a separate category?
Right. That is true. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, Don, go ahead.
Okay, so the Gemara answers the last example, which is driving the animal.
Right.
But it doesn't refer to the supporting the pot with a piece of wood.
Supporting the pot, the Gemara seems to assume, is dependent upon the machlokas Rabbi Yudin Rav Shimon. And the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to take this log and use it to support your pot.
Right.
Rav Shimon says it's okay. And the Gemara assumes that this is Rav Shimon l'shitaso, because Rav Shimon himself allows mukta.
Okay.
That's what we have so far.
In this case, it is mukta.
According to Rabbi Yudin, it's mukta. According to Rav Shimon, it's not mukta.
Right. But it's an issue of mukta, whereas the second example, they're saying it's not an issue of mukta.
Second example of Balei Chaim, at the end of the day, the Gemara thought it was an issue of mukta. It has nothing to do with mukta. It has to do with uvda dechol.
Right. I'm saying, so it only refers to that specific example.
Right. Okay. So at the beginning of this essay, he quotes the sugya in Perikol HaKelu, which we've seen. And Mipashtas HaSugya, it would seem from the simple interpretation of the Sugya in the second paragraph, that really on Yontif, even though I have to admit that a log is not a kli technically, but nevertheless, it's malachto leheter, and if it's malachto leheter, you're allowed to use it litzorech gufo, and it has the same status as ochlin. Just like ochlin, we say you could use in any way, be metaltal it, it's carte blanche, there's no isa because you need it for Shabbos, you need it for yontif. So too, in the case of a kas, on yontif, you need it for yontif, it's like an ochel. And the only reason why we want to impose, the only reason it crosses our mind, the possibility that we should impose some sort of an iser on the bakas on yontif, is only because of gzeira or to Shabbos, because the same bakas would be asur, even lismoch bo sakadera on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because the bakas on Shabbos has the status of Muktza Mamish, it's Muktza Machmas Gufo, and there's no heter in Muktza Machmas Gufo, even with Tzara Gufo, even to use it, Lismoch Bo Sakadera. And the Gemara goes back and forth in our Sugya, whether or not we accept this Gzeira of Yontif, Otu Shabbos, and the Maskana of the Gemara seems to be at the end of the day that when it says, Ein Somukas Esadeles Bibakas, that's Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai is the one who has this. If you recall, as we discussed yesterday, a more all-inclusive Isur, more extensive Isur with regard to Yontif. Beit Shammai was the one who says that only Litzorech Ochel Nefesh Mamish is Mutar and Yontif. Anything beyond Litzorech Ochel Nefesh is Asur. And therefore, we came to the conclusion that according to Beit Shammai, you could accept this principle of Ein Bein, and you could prohibit moving a Bakas on Yontif. And the reason why he's going to be very tight about the heter and restrict it only to the case of using it as firewood, nothing beyond, is because we're worried about Shabbos. Because of this Ein Bein principle, meaning that Beit Shammai's principle is that we want to equate Shabbos and Yontif as much as we can. The only little sliver of a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif, according to Beit Shammai, is Ochel Nefesh Mamish. And therefore, we're going to accept the principle that Gazrin and Yontif are to Shabbos according to Beit Shammai. We, in fact, paskin like Beis Hillel, and therefore, Aloch Lamai. So we should be able to be Somech Es Hakdera with this Pekas. Why? Again, let's go through the logic. Since this Pekas is a Dovar Shemutar, right? It's Malacho Leheter. You're allowed to feed your fire. Therefore, we can allow you to use this object called a bakas for anything that's legufo, lismoch bo sakadera. And don't ask me a question from Ein Bein, because that mission of Ein Bein reflects the Shita Beit Shammai, we all like Beis Hillel. So again, if we only had the sugi called Kalim and we were authoring a Shulchan Aruch, we would codify the halacha like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to use on Yontif a bakas, lismoch bo sakadera sadelis. Ulam. However, in contrast, if you take a look at the Tosfos HaRosh and the Ritva, they all point out that this is against the Gemara in Beitza. Because the Gemara in Beitza has a totally different understanding. The Gemara in Beitza understood, and we saw Rashi, that Bekas is Mukta. Why? Because it's not a Kli, it's not an Ochel, it's a piece of wood. And therefore, the only heter we're going to allow you to have with regard to Bekas is Lo Nitnu Eitzim Ela La Soka. La Soka means for burning purposes. So what is the final maskana? Now, I just want to make one comment here, that although it's true that l'fishlo nitnu eitzim el hasaka, but that was only the Tanakhama of this brisa. The brisa quoted a second opinion, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Now, if Rabbi Shimon is Matir, then who knows? Maybe we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, since Rabbi Shimon lesley mukta, and the whole Easter of Bakas is a Muktzah problem, maybe he doesn't accept Muktzah. Again, we had a problem with that, because how can you tell me Rav Shimon doesn't accept Muktzah? We're talking about Eitzim, which is Muktzah Machmas Gufo. But the answer is that since it's Royal Asaka, it's not like a regular Eitz. You know, going into Shabbos, going into Yontif, a piece of wood has no purpose, no function. I'm not going to use it to make a kli if I'm a carpenter. But in the case of Yontif, when I can designate an Erev Yontif for the purpose of Asaka, it has a purpose to it, and therefore it should become like an Ochel. It's not Muktza. Meaning, if you go into Rav Shimon's mindset, Rav Shimon says, you know what, a person prepares everything. Anything that's fit for use. Again, Grogos Vitzivukim is an exception, and you might have an exception in something that you lock up because it's very expensive and sensitive, and then we spoke about Chisar and Kis situation, that we spoke about the possibility of something that has no function whatsoever and it loses its shame kli. Fine. But if you're talking about something that's designated for use on Yontif, because Erev Yontif, I designated this log to feed my fire, and that I'm certainly allowed to do on Yontif, then Reb Shimon is going to say in his mind, he prepares this log. Not blog, but log, right? So it should be mutter according to Reb Shimon. So I'm not sure right now why Reb Soloveitchik sets up this contradiction between Shabbos and Beitzah and frames it in the name of Rishonim, but he frames it in terms of the halacha lemaisa element here. You know, that if you take the final conclusion lemaisa and you were codifying a shulchan aruch based on the sugya of kol hakelim, you would say you're allowed to move the bekas on yontif litzara gufa for the sake of lismo pos hakadera. Whereas the Gemara there seems to contradict that. Well, again, the Gemara there is going according to Rav Yehuda. Maybe ask sugya goes according to Rav Shimon, and we pass him like Rav Shimon. That's what I don't catch. And he writes the following: Ayin bibal hamor v'ramban perik dalad debetsa. The ayin b'tosus harosh basugyan. According to the final conclusion, so again, what compelled the Gemara in Kol HaKelim to conclude that Bekas, and whenever I say Bekas, from now on you'll always assume, unless you know otherwise, that I mean Lismok Boas HaKedera, so I'm not going to always repeat that, that the final issue or status of Bekas on Yontif depends upon Beisil Beit Shammai, the Tosa Rosh says that's because the Gemara is compelled to come up with Beisil Beit Shammai to reconcile the contradiction between two Mishnayos. There's one Mishnah that says that you're allowed to take the peros and send it down from the roof, derech aruba, through the skylight, all the way to the bottom floor, which means that on Yontif we allow you to do something which on Shabbos would be prohibited. And the Mishnah that says, on the contrary, ein bein yontif l'shabbos, there is no difference between yontif and Shabbos. And therefore, mashilin on yontif be also in the same way that it's also on yontif. So in order to get out of this contradiction, we're going to have to say that the Mishnah of mashilin reflects Beis Hillel, and the Mishnah of ein bein reflects Beis Shammai. Ukemavua calls zeh besugis ha-gemar be-beitza daf lamed zayin. He says we'd have to turn another 5 pages to get to lamed zayin. Aval hachmas nisan, the ain't somchenes habakas, bivadai asya kekuli alma vegam kibes hillel. So when we reconcile those two mishnayos of mashilin and ain bain, then we're going to introduce Beis Hillel to be lenient and allow you to do something on yontif, even though it would be prohibited on Shabbos. However, when we get to the Mishnah of bakas, that's a whole other story. Bakas is a category that even Beis Hillel would accept. And once again, in brackets and parentheses, I want to write, but what about Reb Shimon? The Brisa says that Reb Shimon is mate. Okay, we don't have that now. Right now, that's classified information. Aval hachmas nisin the ein somchenes bekas bevadai asi lekuli alma gamlu kibeis Hillel. So that Mishnah would reflect even Beis Hillel's opinion. Kimavur b'gemar b'beitzim yishim d'lo nosnu lo nitnu eitzim el asoka, that eitzim are mukta. V'chein niru l'halon v'pashtus midirei Rashi didirei agemar toluila v'esil beit shamay heim al dina d'mashilin bilvad. Notice Rashi says that when the Gemara says ha b'esil and ha beit shamay, that was just to explain the Mishnah of mashilin. And there we can be lenient. So Rav Osai, it comes out the following, that we can be lenient with regard to tircha, correct? And that's because tircha is not the same severity as muktzah. Well, let me try to develop this. Do you remember the case where he drives his animal with a stick? And you might recall that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon was matir it. And the reason is because in that case, we're not going to accept mukta. We're going to talk about something called mechse keman di azil lechinga. It looks like he's traveling to the marketplace. That's already a secondary prohibition. Mukta, which might lead you to a real serious violation of Shabbos, is a heavy-duty isur which the Rabbanan created. But mechse keman di azil lechinga, like he's going to the marketplace, that's what is he doing over here? He's not doing anything that's inherently prohibited, but we're trying to create a certain ambiance. Same thing in the case of Mashilin. Mashilin is not a primary Easter, even on Shabbos. We want to maintain your state of rest on Shabbos. Laman Yanuach. And therefore, we don't want you to spend the entire day reorganizing your possessions. You know, as I told you many times, I knew someone in my family who would spend a lot of time moving furniture. That's not the way we want you to do it. So the Chachamim said, Mashilin, that's a great tircha. It was a whole to-do. You have to set up the pulley system from up to down and get the fruits off the roof down. That, in those cases, where there's no issue of mukta, it's just one of these extraneous secondary prohibitions on Shabbos and Yontif. There we could say, to add to boot that on Yontif, we're going to say it's awesome because of Shabbos, that far we're not going to go. So Mashil in Paris, I want to save these fruits before they get wet or drenched on the roof, and that's something that I want to do on Yontif. It's like an Ochel Nefesh kind of heter. But if you'll ask me, let's make a gzera because on Shabbos we don't allow Mashilin to pull this pulley system. I'm not going to go that far for the sake of fencing you away, right? Of being marchik you and pushing you away from an Easter, which is a secondary Easter. It only relates to the outer circles of Shabbos. Like, what is it, Saturn? Which is the planet that has those rings around?
Saturn.
So if Shabbos, imagine that there are two categories of Isurim. There's the planet itself, Saturn itself, and then the rings around it, ring around the rosy. These are extensions. We don't want you to look like you're going to the marketplace. We don't want you to spend all your time with great effort sweating and toiling as you do this pulley system from the roof down to the... Those are the rings around Saturn. And there we're going to be makil as far as equating Yontif and Shabbos. We're going to say that if in Yontif those things might be mutter, so Zayin Azor, leave it as is. Let it be Mutar on Yontif. Even though on Shabbos we took a stricter view, we were worried about these rings, as we said, these secondary surim. We wanted to guarantee that Shabbos you're in the state of Menucha. But we don't have to make a gzera go too far with it from Yontif to Shabbos. Mashen ke Mukta. Mukta itself belongs to Saturn. That's the kishkis of Shabbos. Because here we're dealing with things that could get really out of hand. We mentioned many times that it seems that Rashi holds that Mukta is Doraisa. We mentioned many times that Mukta is an Isur Chefta. It's a Dovah Sheish Lo Matir. There are many different chumras that we have in Mukta, and we're very careful to avoid Mukta. So therefore, it comes out at this point in the Tosa Rosh, La Lacha, we can accept two things that might seem on the surface of it to be contradictory. On the one hand, we could be makil on Yontif with regard to Mashilin, and that Mishnah which reflects the Shita Beis Hillel, we can accept La Halacha, and we will accept La Halacha. And on the other hand, we're going to be machmir in the case of Bekas when we're touching on Mukts itself. And here, we're not going to be makil. We're going to take a very harsh stand. That's what I think he's saying over here. Let's see it inside again. He says, Hachmas Nisan on the third line, the Ain Somchus Bekas Vade Asya Lukuli Amagam Kibes Hillel. However, the Sugyan Beitza, which is addressing a whole different question, and that's Bekas, there we have a much more harsh position to take because Lo Nitnu Eitzav Ela La Sukkah, meaning we're dealing with Mukta Mamish. V'chein nira la'alon v'pashas midiri Rashi, fine, that we saw before. V'nira b'bira ha'dvarim. So let's see how he enhances this. B'bira ha'dvarim. Okay then?
I'm sorry, where's the beer?
That's on, on the left. We're on Reish Nun Gimel, but on the left column, you see a big major paragraph that starts V'nira B'vira Dvarim. Yeah? Are we all in the same paragraph?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeshlomo delufi derech zu kol zen nichlal betirat hagemara meikara. In other words, now he's trying to fit this whole framework, this whole structure, and all these distinctions into the language of the Gemara itself. What was the language of the Gemara? Hani, meaning the Gemara said hecha deika toras kliale, but hecha deika toras kli lo. In other words, if you want to move a kli shemalako leisa letzor gufo, that's okay. Even on Shabbos, that's okay, because it has a Torah's Kli. But if you're talking about a Bekas doesn't have a Torah's Kli. Dula maskonas ha-gemara, ein zet tirutz, rak maitaima ein noeg bibekas b'Shabbos ha-heta dula tzorek gufa. He says that if you'll ask why there's no heter in the case of Bekas, as a dovish malachto leheter, on Shabbos talking about as a davar shemalach talisa, but to use it with tzara gufo, because the kli shemalach talisa is mutal tzara gufo, for that I'll answer to you that the kas is not a kli shemalach talisa because it doesn't have a Torah's kli, but rather it has a din of muktzah machmas gufo. It's only eitzim vavonim. Afshe b'kas asur b'Shabbos kechol kli shemalach talisa. Even though for sure Bekas on Shabbos has the same status as a Kli Shemalach Talisa, there's an Isa Tiltul. However, in the case of Bekas, it goes beyond Kli Shemalach Talisa. Mishum de Bekas ain't a Kli. It's not even a Kli at all. And therefore, it's Muktzamach Maskufo. And that answer, the Gemara, is appropriate, is valid, even as far as Yontif is concerned. Meaning, even on Yontif, the status of a Bekas is not the status of a Kli. It doesn't all of a sudden magically become a Kli. You know, whatever the conditions or the requirements to make something into a Kli and generate that status, that doesn't apply to Bekas, whether it's Yontif or Shabbos. The Afbi Yontif, who Dorish and Malachto Lehetan, even if you'll ask me, well, wait a minute, on Yontif, it has the status of a Dorish and Malachto Lehetan because we're allowed to use it to feed the fire on Yontif. But nevertheless, there's no heter of Litzor Gufo. Because the whole heter of Litzor Gufo, and that's relevant to Lismo Pas Akdera, is only in a Kli. And this is not a Kli. And the reason for that is that the Kas really doesn't have neither a status of Ochli nor the status of Kalim. Right? So when we speak about Muktzah Machmas Gufo, what we do is we first eliminate two other categories. And once you eliminate those two, and you fall into the third pot, that's called Muktzah Machmas Gufo. So what are the two categories? Ochlin and Kelim. But Bekas is neither this nor that. And therefore, Hareyu Kishara Avonim Utsroa Shei Muktzah Machmas Gufo. V'rak. And again, here I would again press my agenda here that even Rav Shimon would agree to that. So I don't know why Rav Shimon is makil in the case of Bekas. V'rak mishum she'omedes la'soka. Oh, this is what I wanted to point out to you. Yesh lo heter miyuchad le'inyan asoka. There's a separate matir just for the sake of asoka. You know, you have something that's eitzim avonim, but there's a matir that's exclusive to one use. And what's unique about that one use? That is the Ochel Nefesh paradigm, Ochel Nefesh of Yontif. Aval gabi shar mili, but as far as the inherent status of a Bekas, with the exclusion of Asoka, it's Kol Toras Muktzah. It has the din and the status of Muktzah. And he illustrates this by quoting the Rashba in Beitza. Rashba's language is very telling. He says, "Ulefichach nire delo nitnu eitzim el asoka ein ratzalom shalom nitan ikar tashmishon el asoka." He's not coming up with some new svara, you know, similar to what we spoke about once with trumpets. Do you remember the Chatzotzra? We said it's exclusively designated for music. That's not what we're saying here. You can use a log of wood for many, many different things. What does it mean? Lo nitnu eitzim el asoka. Lo hitirum chachomim el asoka. See, we thought when we read the language of lo nitnu eitzim el asoka, we thought we were getting into some sort of psychological analysis. and the mindset of a person, how does he, what's his perspective, what's his attitude towards a Makat? So we said, look, in his mind, he doesn't want to waste it. You know, it's a log. You know, remind me to tell you the story about logs. You know, the Hasidic story about logs. Logs are very important. You know, back in the day in Europe, they didn't have the heating methods that we have, and certainly not at the time of Chazal in Babylonia of 16 centuries ago. So logs were very important. So we thought what it meant is he designated it's exclusive for a log. Don't you dare touch this log and use it for anything else. Like Harvey's dental utensils, right? He locks it up. If you start playing around with those utensils or a Shochet's knife, you know, Shechita knife, who knows what it's going to lead to. No, that's not what we're saying about Pekas. Well, we're saying lo nitnu, meaning Chachamim didn't allow you in this muktzah situation of Pekas, which is Eitzim Avonim, to move it and to use it for anything other than asaka. To be dina, if not for the special heter of Chachamim, asurim heim l'taltel, bein l'shabbos, bein l'yotif, even on yotif there's an isur muktzah, this is muktzah machmas kufo, and here he adds, this is the punchline, she'ein lahem toras kli, because bekas, which is an eitz, a piece of eitz, does not have a Torah's kli, soros ninu, and has the same status as avonim. Ukedomale rabba la baye hasa el sheitirum chacham la soka litzorech ochel nefesh. But rather, they allowed it for soka because on yontif we need ochel nefesh. Shiva reish nun dalit.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me give you reish nun dalit. La soka bilvad nitnu klomer la soka hitirum velo ledover acher. So that's the bottom line of this Rashba, that the Rabbanon allowed you to move muktzah. So I always use this as a joking line, but it's not really funny anymore. So you won't laugh. But that if I give you an exam, like a little quiz at the end, and I can ask you when are you allowed to move muktzah, so the first answer you should give me is on Yontif, you're allowed to move muktzah l'tzorech ochel nefesh. Meaning you can take a bekas and throw it into the fire, and that was a special heter on muktzah. That's the way the Rashba learns it. And he says he found the same thing in the Ravid, and he tells you to look in the Ramban. He's really impressing you here. He's like overwhelming you with all these Rishonim. And he says that basically this is the approach of the Rishonim. Okay. But then, on line 5 here, he says, Biofen Acher. Do you see those words? Yeah, he made up his own abbreviation here, Biofen Acher. And he says, L'inyin Hasaka Eino Bechlal Muktzah. Maybe we can go a little bit further, and we'll see if we can find enough Gemina. He wants to say, not that it's Muktzah and you're moving Muktzah, and you have to do tshuva for moving Muktzah, but rather, it's not Muktzah at all. But it's not muktzah relative. This is what I call the schizophrenia of muktzah. You remember we spoke that it might be muktzah for something, but not muktzah for something else. Here's your case of something that's muktzah for X, but it's not muktzah for Y. So it's muktzah for everything but hasaka. And then to throw it into the fire, then it's not muktzah. Hareyu kemuchanim. You have a special achana on one dimension of this kli. You know, the kli has many faces to it. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you talk. All right, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but anyway, it has many faces. So the face of Hasaka, as far as this Bekas is concerned, is the face of Hachana. But that's only as far as that one personality, that one definition of the essence of a Bekas. As far as everything else is concerned, it's Eitzim Vavonim, and it's pure Muktzah Machmas Gufo. L'Yisharet Vam Hader Dina Davi L'Kiavonim. It's like stones. V'nira dehu ke'ein ha'yisod shematzinim v'ramban b'molchamis la'alon l'gabi nidbach shel avonin. Ah, I wish I remember. We had a Ramban about schizophrenia. I have to look it up. But he's quoting a different Ramban. Because I would love to get all the Rambans lined up together and show you they're all consistent one with the other. So the case is nidbach shel avonin. Okay, what's the case of Nidbach Shel Avonim? They had stones that were used in building and construction, and very often what they would do is they would pile the stones one on top of the other so it's not occupied too much space, And then, on certain occasions, they would smoothen out the surface of the stone. Now, that wasn't really necessary, if I remember correctly, because for construction purposes. It could have been a little bit juddy-juddy, if you know what I mean. But why did they smoothen it, which is called shifshuf? They did this process of shifshuf in order to allow using the stones for sitting purposes. Right? You want extra chairs, extra place for sitting, so they did this shifshuf. So the Ramban says the following. What's the status of this pile of stones, one on top of the other? He says, the Ramban says, V'chein ba'avonim shifshuf shalahem atiram. Since you did an act of smoothening them, then they become royal yeshiva. No, it's a designated now for sitting. V'chein v'chol ikar enom ru'uyim la yeshuva zu. But if you had not subjected these stones to the process of smoothing them, or planing them down, which is called shifshuf, then it's not royal yeshiva. And if it's not royal yeshiva, you can't sit on it. Ela machma shifshuf sha'asu mehem miba'erev. You know, before he went into Shabbos, he did this act of planing, of smoothing them. Then it becomes royal yeshiva. Aval tiltulam. I'm sorry. Aval tiltulim acherim. Okay, litzorach gufan u'makoman asu. Interesting. This is wild. Here's something that's a chair, and you're not allowed to move it, but you can sit on it. And that's again the schizophrenia of mukta. The stone itself inherently is mukta. The fact that you smooth it out, that designates it for yeshiva, but for anything else it remains mukta. This is so contradictory to everything, you know, in everything that we understand about mukta, because what we understand about mukta is you look at the object and you ask yourself, well, did you prepare it? Are you going to use it or not? And in this case, since he did the act of shifshuf, he prepared it for yeshiva. If he prepared it for yeshiva, let it be like any chair. Did you ever have any problem moving chairs on Shabbos? You're allowed to move chairs on Shabbos. Let's say you're not going to even sit on the chair. You want to move a chair from place to place because you're organizing your room, you know, so it should look nice, or whatever reason you're doing it. So that's all allowed. Why? Because it's a kli. But in the case of Havanim, in the case of stones, which could be used for purposes of sitting, and you might have in fact designated it for sitting, that doesn't remove the status of the stone as a stone, so it remains mukta. Again, since you designated it for sitting, you're allowed to sit on it. But anything else, you can't do with it. And therefore, tiltulim acherim, even if it's a tzorach gufan, even if it's a tzorach makomen, is awesome. Says Rav Soloveitchik, v'hu kenal. That's exactly like the Rashba that we saw before. Davi muchan ledover echad u'muktza ledover acher. Oh, that's beautiful. This is what we were looking for. You know, this concept of Clark Kent and Superman. And I'm trying to remember where we had it, and it's driving me crazy. It only means that we have to do Chazorah, but it was not long ago. I can find it. I'll tell you how I can find it. Yeah. Because when I put up my shiurim on YU Torah, I add a little, if I have time, I add a little blurb there. They give you room for a description. And I think I used the word schizophrenia. And I remember I had to do spell check on it. So if I punch into my, you know, to my page on YU Torah schizophrenia, I'll be able to be netted to look. Do you have... You have on your phone, Ben, any option of getting yeah. internet? You don't have internet on your phone.
I have on my computer, but not
right. I can get it on mine.
You can get internet on your phone? Do me a favor. If you can bring up YU Torah and get my page, and then you can do a word search. We're gonna search for the word schizophrenia.
Is it possible at Efer? Because Erev Shabbos, I designated to do Kisui Dam, and if I didn't designate it, then it's pure...
Right, but here we're talking about a case where you designate it and yet it remains mukta. Mm-hmm. But you're allowed to use it for that specific function that you designated it for. And I remember we spoke about this, and I think it was the Ramban. And I'd be very excited to write a letter to the editor, who's a Rav in the shul that I almost rabbinated in Harnov, and tell him that this is my... So you see where it says, there should be a... Now the Gemara says here in Kol HaKelim, and we saw it yesterday, Umi Gazrinon, V'Hatnan Mashilin Peres Derech Arubi B'Yontif. So the Gemara in its Havamina thinks that the reason why Bekas on Yontif is Osur, Litzor Kufo, is because it's a Gzera to Yontif. But what do we do with the Mishnah of Mashilin, which clearly says that something which is Mutar on Yontif and yet it's Osur on Shabbos? And then the Gemara proves that we do have this principle of Gzera from another Mishnah that says Ein Yontif L'Shabbos Alochel Nefesh Bilvad. So we have now a head-on collision between two Mishnais, which again we discussed yesterday. And he says, Habir bazed tircha asura b'shabes mishum shvus, that the Rabbanan prohibited extra tircha. Oh, there's the word tircha. Let's see if I spelled it right. Oh, he adds. No, he actually spells it the same way I wrote. Yeah. Tircha is the Rabbanan prohibited it, and when the Rabbanan prohibits something on Shabbos, it's called a shvus. They didn't have to be so careful, so they were more loose on Shabbos. I wanted to add, especially because we're dealing with food stuff, which he's bringing down from the roof, and Yontif is all about preparing food. But if he tiru tirchu mu'etes zu, since it's a limited kind of tirch, they allowed that. But makom hefsid mamon, that was the element that I reminded myself only at the end of the shiur yesterday. Hey, wait a minute, there's another variable into this equation, and that is that the fruits, if they get ruined by the rains, you know, you take a financial loss. So hitiru, here's the rule. Hitiru tirchav mu'etes b'makom hefseid mam. Okay? Which means the Gemara goes back and forth in the Talmudic dialogue or discourse. The Hagam the Yontif the Ikar Dino kill Mishavis, but Ein Roy Ligzar Bo Shvus Shel Tircha B'Makom Hefseid Mam. But Mikomakom Nigzar Iser Gam B'Yontif Atu Shavis. So again, in other words, if Yontif was left to its own, then we would certainly allow Tircha on Yontif for the sake of Hefseid Mam. But the problem is that in that same scenario on Shabbos would be Osur, so we have Gzera because you'll confuse Shabbos and Yontif. Mikomakom Nigzar Iser Gam B'Yontif Atu Shabbos Kerochichu B'Masnisen D'Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos D'Gazrinin Yontif Atu Shabbos B'Chol Ashvusen. So far, Avosa, what we see in this paragraph is simply a summary of what we were able to understand in the sugya itself. Ulahalo and Maisi mi pluktas Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, this was the case of hauling up the animal from the bottom of the ditch. You remember that? Be oso ves binosh enoful bar umuchach mi divrei agmar de mitzadini yontif ein roy lesar b'tircha zu. Meaning, as far as Yontif is concerned, if left on its own, if there was no element of Shabbos here in the picture, then we would allow you this tircha of hauling up the animal from the bottom of the bar. Kishem sheitiru mashilin, again, because he's going to take a loss if the animal remains in the bar and it dies. That's a tremendous financial loss for him. And just like we saw already, our precedent was the case of mashilin, which we allowed tircha for the sake of preventing Hefseid Mamon. Here too, we're going to allow Tircha for the sake of Hefseid Mamon. This is, of course, before the Gemara introduces the Harama business. You remember the Harama business, where he says, oh, I'm going to take this animal up, and I'm going to shecht it. And then he says, oh, I decide I don't want to shecht, I don't want the other animal. He takes the other one up. But before the Gemara introduces that element into the equation, the Gemara is focused totally on the fact that we're going to be matir on Yontif Tircha for the sake of Hefseid Mamon, something which we would never do on Shabbos. The Ikar time of blessed the also Mishum the Gzera Yontif Atu Shabbos, Rabbi Yeshua the Matir who Mishum the Logaza Yontif Atu Shabbos. So we have a machlokas here on a fundamental principle, and that is whether everything that's Osir on Shabbos becomes ipso facto Osir on Yontif. Rabbi Loz says yes, and Rabbi Shimon says no. Ulam, that's all Nahav meaning one maskana sagamar time of the Rabbi Lozar, Mishum the lekot sorech mamon la loso mi barki sagilei parnos of the alma. The Gemara reinterprets Rabbi Lezer and says that no, it's not that Rabbi Lezer prohibits it because he's worried about Shabbos. No, he prohibits it because efshar al yidei davrach. I mean, he has an alternative method of achieving his same goal. If we're worried that he'll lose the animal, well, let him just roll down some food, you know, drop down some food and save the animal. Keno iser hu mi ikar adin. In other words, this is a tircha that certainly should be asur on Yontif because it's a tircha, and there's no hefsek mamon, and that's the only tircha we're going to allow on Yontif, and that's a special leniency in Yontif, is for the sake of preventing you from a financial loss. But here, you can achieve that goal of keeping the animal alive and well without having to violate the isa tircha. Imkena isa mikra din. Rabbi Yeshua de Poligal Rabbi Loza Hainu Mishum de Hocha Shaykh Ahetishal HaRoma. And the reason why Rabbi Yeshua becomes very lenient here is not because he's not concerned with Rabbi Eliezer's logic. Rabbi Eliezer's logic is very persuasive, is very powerful. Namely, we should not allow tircha on Yontif. But the reason why we're going to allow tircha on Yontif according to Rabbi Yeshua is for a different reason, because of this harama business, as we discussed before. So all that is very nice. And once again, you know, I'm on the one hand I'm saying there are no chidushim here, but on the other hand I'm very happy because it means we were on the right track.
Maybe I misheard you.
Yeah.
But I thought you said Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Shimon, but you meant
I meant to say Rabbi Yeshua. I'm sorry.
Yeshua. Okay.
You know, I've got Rabbi Shimon in my mind, so I may have said Rabbi Yeshua. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion that to reconcile the contradiction between Mashilin and Ein Bein, we're going to introduce the Machlokas Shin Beis Hillel Beit Shammai about Mitoch. And the Rav says, Tzarech Biur Kavanas HaGemara Mai Shiate De Plutosa De Hocha. What is the relationship between the issue of Tircha? Are we going to allow Tircha on Yontif? Are we going to not allow Tircha on Yontif? Should we worry about the Nisa Tircha because of Shabbos? And therefore we should ask the Yontif about Shabbos? Those issues have nothing to do at the face of it with Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about a very fundamental issue in Yontif, and that is Mitoch. But just like, you know, to the same token that Beit Shammai was Machmir in Mitoch, it could be they would be Mekel in Tircha. To the same extent that Beis Hillel on Mekel in Mitoch, maybe there would be Machmir in the case of Tircha. Why is Tircha dependent upon the Machlokas Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai? We try to suggest a pshat here that maybe it's just a technicality here. The language of the Mishnah indicates Beit Shammai, because the Mishnah says Ein Bein, and that Ein Bein could only be understood in the light of Beit Shammai. But Rav Soloveitchik wants to get something a little more profound. It's not just a technicality, and it's not just linguistics. But Nira al pi shitas Rashi bebeitza, Dibra Maskil Ella, Vitosis Dibra Maskil Haki Garcina, that's the famous Sugya of Mitoch, Dilabes Hillel, Kol Moleches, Ochol Nefesh, Hutra Legamre, Beyontif, Gam Shalolitzar Klau, meaning that even if you're not doing this Molocha in any way related to Ochol Nefesh, let's say for example, you want to carry stones, you know, from one Rishus to the other, not for the sake of eating, obviously, you don't need stones, and yet Beis Hillel would allow it. Again, this is before the Isur Mukta, but I'm saying on a Doraisa level, the Yilul Beit Shammai Yeshlam Heter Mesuyam, they have a restricted Heter, only Litzor Chofel Nefesh. But carrying stones out from one Rishus to the other is not Mutter, according to Beis Shammai. Umi'at, okay, so what does this have to do with Tircha? Yeshlam Dezeu Detoli B'Gemara Del Beis Hillel the Hanach Malachos Hutru Legamru Biyantiv, according to Beis Hillel, that those Malachos that by their very nature are designated for food, Bishol Hotzah Havara, is they were Mutu Legamri, the Torah allowed them, permitted them completely on Yantiv. It came a high time, Alohich Miru Gam Betiltul Biyantiv. Okay, this is the key phrase here. Lehai taima lo echmiru gam betiltul biyantif. Ah, I see what he's driving at. You remember that we've discussed on many occasions what's the nature and what's the motivation for establishing this isur tiltul mukta. Why is it prohibited? So amongst the various explanations, one of them was because you start carrying things around, you might be tempted to bring them out into another reshus, and that's called atu tiltul lav tzarchotzon inhu right here. So if that be the case, well, what happens in the worst case scenario if you move kalim on yontif and you carry them out into another reshus. Well, the truth is that hotzah is a meleches al kol nefesh par excellence, and therefore there is no iser hotzah in yontif. The only iser hotzah in yontif would be if you prepared for chol, but as far as moving stones from one reshus to the other, technically it should be mutum in Torah according to Beis Hillel, because meleches hotzah was hutra legamri, that's mitoh. No, so what are you going to tell me? I'm going to ask the tiltu because you might carry it out. So what? You're allowed to carry it out. It's therefore hitiru. Oh, then this becomes complicated. Valkane, who could help me with the next line? Valkane, and therefore hitiru shemashilin peros b'mokom hefseid momon. Whoa.
Because you're going from two different domains.
No. Mapitom. You're going from the roof down to your house.
No, but isn't the roof...
Ah, it depends whether it's fenced or not, maybe. Yeah, but I tell you the truth. I'm not a baki in mechitzas. You can spend your whole life studying that concept called mechitzas, but I'm almost like 99% sure that the mechitzas, even if it's not fenced, the mechitzas of the house go all the way up to Shemayim. That's called godasik mechitzas. So I don't believe for 1 minute that a roof would have the status of Rishus HaRab. The roof is a Rishus HaYochid. And your house, your living room, your kitchen is also a Rishus HaYochid. So you're not violating the Isra Otsav. So the only reason why Mashilin is a problem is because of Tircha Yisera. And what connection does that have to Beis Hillel? Okay, you've convinced me that Beis Hillel, so far as they accept Bitoch, they allow you, in this case, of Meleches Otsav, to do Meleches Otsav and Yontif, even in Shalol Otsav. But what does that have to do with Mashilin? Mashilin is a different problem. It's an exertion of effort and energy. So you want to say that should be usur, but will be matirin on yontif because of hefseid momen? Fine, but what does that have to do with Beis Hillel? Achein yesh ladgish to be komakom tircha delot zarech. So if it wasn't this pressing need because he's going to lose the value of his fruits if they get deluged, is usur rabbanan gam yontif? Even on yontif is an isur tircha. But again, so why I don't understand for the life of me how that links up to Beis Hillel. Amar Beit Shammai, the gamaleches ochel nefesh asugos biyontif kmo b'shabes chak sheish matir miyuchad l'tzorcho ochel nefesh inkei nimtza to be etzem maleches otza asur biyontif kmo b'shabes kloshen Rashi. That's the sheet of Beis Shammai. Al Kain, Lushitosam, according to Beit Shammai, Asur Tircha, Biyontif, Kamo Bishavis, Behishvus Ayontif, Lishavis, Ligamre. Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure that there's some meaning here, but I have not succeeded in understanding. Again, let me just show you the opposite argument. You know, sometimes if you try to be argumentative and you take the opposite position, eventually you understand it. But I don't know if it's going to work in this case. But the opposition would be as follows. Okay, Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai, let's start with Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai understand that Ochel Nefesh is a special matir, and it's only for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. What does that have to do with Tircha? Tircha on Yontif, maybe we could be more lenient and liberal on Tircha on Yontif for the sake of preventing a Hefseid Momon. He needs these fruits. Beis Hillel, let's go with Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel might say, okay, the heter of Ochel Nefesh is the Malacha straight across the board. And therefore, you know, Tiltul might be Mutar on Yontif. But I have another problem here, and that's Tircha. Tiltul is one issue, but Tircha is a different issue. Okay, do I want to offset Tircha as an Isa Yontif because of the Hefseid Momon? Maybe yes, maybe no. But that has nothing to do with Beis Hillel. So this whole paragraph here, I'm going to have to write a letter to the editor and see if we can figure it out. Ulefi zeh, nira di eshlomar od, de l'shitas Rashi, l'maskonas ha-gemara, gam Beis Shammai shemachmirim v'mashilin v'peros derech haruba ein zeh mishum gzeras Yontif atu Shabbos bulvad, like the hot meaning, but Elul Beit Shammai lechatchila chamir Yontif kishabbos. Oh, I see what he's saying. Maybe this gives us a little bit of an inkling of what he had in mind. He's saying like this: Yontif and Shabbos, how do you compare them? How do they size up one to the other? And should we put them on the same level? Obviously, they're not on the same level, but fundamentally, in a conceptual framework, they should be on the same level. So that Rabosai should depend upon a different issue. How many malachas do we have on Shabbos?
39.
How many malachas do we have on Yontif? Don't give me an answer. Because there are two answers to this question. One answer is to say 39, and the other answer is to say, I don't know, we'll throw out a number 35, 34, I don't know what exactly, how many malachas on Nefesh there are. Meaning, here's where Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai have a major argument. Whereas Beit Shammai says the same 39 malachas that are also on Shabbos are also on Yontif, just the Torah is allowing you for the sake of food to do the malacha. But you should really be doing tshuva because you're doing a malach on Yontif and all 39 malachas are asur. Beis Hillel takes the 39 and whittles it down. It's not true to say all malachas that are asur on Shabbos are asur on Yontif. There are a whole bunch of malachas that are by very nature malachas okol nefesh and they were never prohibited on Yontif. The classical case would be cooking. So Beis Hillel maintained that there never was, the Torah never prohibited cooking on Yontif, where cooking is one of the 39 av malachas. Says Rav Soloveitchik, a spin-off of this machlokas is whether or not we should equate Yontif and Shabbos straight across the board. Since Beis Shammai are very machmir in Yontif, they say all 39 malachas that are also on Shabbos are also on Yontif, therefore we have to be very careful and see to it that he observes the Yontif in a very strict way. You know, the mentality, the mental state on Yontif has to be, according to Beis Shammai, heavy duty, because it's almost like Shabbos. Of course, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif insofar as the onus is concerned. Shabbos is a capital crime, Yontif is Malkus. But nevertheless, structurally, in terms of the nature of the Easter, it's a mirror image one of the other. The only difference is that there was a matir for the sake of Ochel Nefesh, they allowed you to cook on Shabbos. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, Yontif is a whole different entity. You know, to compare Shabbos and Yontif would be like comparing apples and oranges. Because although the concept of Malacha does apply on Yontif as it does on Shabbos, but not the same way. There are many malachas which, by definition, are allowed on Yontif, and on Shabbos they'd be awesome. So Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel is not compelled to want to create this kind of an equation here, and assume that we should be machmir and tircha and mashilin on Yontif the same way we have to be machmir on Shabbos. No, it's Shabbos l'chud, Yontif l'chud, they're two separate entities. Whereas Beit Shammai sees them as one entity, and therefore whatever Isser Tircha applies on Shabbos should apply on Yontif, and it has to be very strict, and we're not going to allow it even for the sake of Hefseid Mam. So that's what we're up to here. If you gentlemen are interested, I'm not going to try to push myself here, but I would share with you something I saw for Purim, because today is Purim. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me get that out.
You also asked this story about the Hasidic story in Lodz.
Yeah, that's a good story. What I wanted to tell you is that, you know, back in the day, the Misnagdim were literally opposed to Hasidus. And sometimes the Misnagdim were a little bit, and I'm understating it, cynical about the Hasidic Rebbe, because the Hasidim really believed in the Rebbe, that the Rebbe is a miracle maker. You know what I mean? And on one particular occasion, a Misnagid listens, he overhears a whole shmooze of the Chassidim. And they're talking about the Rebbe, and they're saying that every night he goes up to Shamayim, and he's in the Kisei HaKovod, and he goes up to the heavens, and then he comes back down. Obviously, the Misnagid is he's very cynical about this. So the Misnagid says to the Chassidim, you know what? I'm going to prove you're wrong. And that night, he dresses himself up as a plain, you know, as a citizen. This is back in Russia, and he hides himself in the bushes. And the story actually takes place towards the end of Elul. It was really right before Rosh Hashanah. And he's spying on the Rebbe's house. Let's see if the Rebbe goes up to Shammai. See, he's, you know, this Misnagid is really falling asleep. It's getting really late. It's like 2 in the morning. And all of a sudden, he's woken up because he hears noise in the house. And somebody comes out of the house. And this Misnagid can't figure out what's going on over here. It looks like the face of the Rebbe from where he's standing, but he's wearing the clothes of a Russian peasant, you know, with all the fur and the garb. And not only that, he's holding an axe in his hand. So the Misnagid does, like, what's going on over here? So as the Rebbe goes into the forest, the Misnagid is creeping up behind him. He's amazed at what he sees. The Rebbe takes an axe and spends an hour cutting down a tree and cutting the tree, the wood of the tree, into little logs. Then the Rebbe grabs all the logs, piles them together in a sack, and throws it over his shoulder, and he continues deep into the forest. He stops at a little hut, and he bangs on the door without waiting for an answer. He goes right in. And the Misnagid is now getting very close. He's just flabbergasted. What is going on here? And he watches the Rebbe take the logs down and put them on the floor. And there's an old lady who's you could barely hear her speak. She's so weak. And she says, "Who's there?" And the Rebbe says, "Ivan," typical Russian name. And without even stopping for a minute, the Rebbe starts making a fire in the fireplace. And he puts the logs in. And there's heat in the room. And this woman is able to survive because of this Ivan. The next morning, the Chassidim come over to the Misnagid. And they say to him, "Nu, what can you tell me? Did the Rebbe go up to heaven?" He says, no. He went higher than heaven." Nochefer. In Yiddish, it's even more sharp. Nochefer. Right. He went even higher than heaven. So that's my story about logs. All right.
Very nice.
Do we have a minute or two? I don't know.
Sure.
Now I'm really going over time, you know. So what did I want to share with you? Of course, when I need it, I can't find it. But if you give me a minute, maybe. Oh, yeah. Here it is. So I want to share with you an insight of the Vilna Gaon on the first Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. The Mishnah says, back in the day, Megillah Nikreis Biyud Aleph, Biyud Beis, Biyud Gimel, Biyud Dal, B'Tesfav. There are 5 days on which you could read the Megillah. That has to do with the villagers. They couldn't come into the big cities. So it's on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Okay. So Rashi, in his comment on this Mishnah, says, Pa'amim bazeh u'pa'amim bazeh. That in certain times, depending on the calendar, it would fall out on Yud Aleph, others on Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav, etc. Says the Vilna Gaon, the Gemara tells us, elsewhere in Shas, that lo kishen ani nichtav ani nikra ani biyud kei vavke, nichtav ani biyud kei vavke, ve nikra ani bi aleph dalet. So whenever you see yud and then a hey and then a vav and then a hey, you read it as ado and then with a noy at the end. In this period of time, until the Mashiach comes, we're not allowed to mention and pronounce the name of yud kei vavke the way it's supposed to be pronounced. That's something that we have to leave for the us in love for the end of time. What's going to happen at the end of time, says the Vilna Gaon, mitu kadinim, that means all the harsh, you know, meeting out of punishment based on the fact that we're not up to par, all that is going to come to fruition. And v'hoye bayoma hu yia yud kei vav kei echad u'shmo echad. So the yud kei vav kei now is sort of behester, he says. It's concealed. Because what we see on the outside is only that element, that nature of God, which is called Adnus, that God is the Adon Kol. But the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's left for Heichal Kodesh, that's for the Holy of Holies. And only when things will be revealed, right now it's concealed, that's Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. And he says the following. The word Megillah comes from the root of Gilui, In other words, if you take the three middle letters of Megillah and you want to get down to the Shoresh, the root of the word, it's Gilu. Gilu means to reveal. So there's something about the Megillah that indicates a revealment. And he says the following. The Mishnah establishes you could read it on the 11th and the 12th. Now, he says the following. If you add 11 and 12, then you get 23. Then it says on the 13th, if you add 13 to 23, 36. You get 36. Then it says you can read it on the 14th. That makes it into 50, right? 36 and 14 is 50. Then it says on the 15th, and you get up to 65. He says, if you take the name of God as we pronounce it today, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, so the Yud at the end is 10, Nun is 50, and Aleph, Dalet is 5, is 65. So the number 65, which is the sum total of these 5 days, is exactly equivalent to the name of God, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And Lo Pachos Velo Yosef, the Mishnah goes on to say that these are the 5 days. You can't have less than these 5 days or more than these 5 days. And the Mishnah says is emphasizing that you can't read it less than 65, meaning the name. This is a hint, an allusion to the name of God. You're not allowed to read it with less than 65. 65 is Ado Noi, right? And he says, because if you would read it less than 65, you might be tempted to read it as 26. 26 is Yud, He, Vav, He. Did I get that right? Let's see. The two, right? There's Yud is 10, Vav is 16, right? And then Vav, He is 15. 15 and 16 is how much?
31.
Wait a second. Did I get this wrong? Let's see. I want to make sure I get the right. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. Is Hayes 5? Is 15 and 11? Right? It's 26. 15 and 11 is 26. So he says that the number that we would be interested in that's less than 65 is 26. Velo Yoser, but we can't go beyond the number of Ado and then the Noi, which is 65. And that's what Rashi means when he says pa'amim bazeh u'pa'amim bazeh, meaning pa'amim bazeh is a reference to the period of time that we're in exile, and then we're going to read it on all these days u'pa'amim bazeh. But after the geula, instead of reading it on all these days, which is the name Adnus, then we're going to read it at the time of the geula with the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we said is what? 26. Is 26. So let's just see what 26 is. Let's see. How much is, 14?
Probably 14 and 15. No, that's 29.
No, that's 29. So I'm not sure where that number comes in. I'll have to work on that. Okay, Rabbi Olsen, we'll stop here because it's getting late. I just want to give you a vart for the Megillah. That the Megillah again has what's concealed, and that's these 5 days, which equals to Adnus. But ultimately, we'll have the revelation of Gilui, Megillah Milashin Gilui, of the Asid Lavan, which then we'll be able to see God without all the terrible Midas Hadin, and then it'll be Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the God of compassion. We should be zocher to that.
Amen.
In the very near future, Ken Yiratzon. Amen.
Amen. Have a great Purim. Thank you.
Okay,